Well, welcome those of you who are here, and welcome to you who are not here and maybe watching. It is nice and toasty in here, and I am grateful for that. And I have been praying that God would just warm our hearts with the truths from His Word. We don't want that coldness outside to come in here and come into our hearts. And so I think even as we begin, it'd be good for us to pray and just talk to God and ask Him to warm our hearts. So let's pray. Lord, we do pray that we would not have cold, bitter, hard hearts when it comes to listening to the Word of God. And I pray that the Spirit of God would use the Word of God to break apart some of that hardness, and may we hear from You today. I do believe that You desire for us to hear this passage today. And so I pray that You would enable this week's speaker, and I pray that the Word of God would go forth with power. Give us ears to hear, and give us hearts to act upon what we hear. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He saith unto them, Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And going on from thence, He saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And He called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. Now, can you imagine the setting here? Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. We could say that maybe there was a smell of fish in the air. Maybe the sun was glinting off the water. I don't know about you, but that setting, I love. I love that seaside kind of village. I love the docks in Stonington. I love the docks up in Point Judith in Rhode Island. I just love that scene. And so Jesus was here, and I picture Him just kind of strolling around the Sea of Galilee, and maybe the wind was blowing slightly. If you're down by the water, you understand it's like constant blowing, and just love that picture there. Now imagine that you're one of those disciples. You're mending your nets, and you're walking, or you're maybe doing your work, and then all of a sudden, this Jesus comes to you and says, Follow Me. Can you imagine that? One day you're working, mending your nets, the wind's blowing, a beautiful context and atmosphere. This guy Jesus comes, the Son of God, the God Himself, comes to you and says, Follow Me. Now, I think for some, it might be tempting to hesitate. Jesus, I have work to do here. I have my family to feed. These nets, I have to finish mending them. Before I follow You, I have to count the cost. And yet what we see for these disciples, they didn't hesitate. They walked away from everything that they knew in a heartbeat. And folks, the moment wasn't just about leaving the fishing trade. It wasn't just about leaving a job. It was a step of faith into a whole new life with Christ. Today, I'd like for us to look at this passage and these men's responses. And I want us to explore at least three steps of faith for any believer in Jesus Christ. And I could say, if you're not a believer here today, there's certainly application for you too. These same pillars, these same truths that we're going to look at are foundational in your walk with Jesus Christ, and we'll explore those as we go along too. And so I believe these responses that we see here are really three pillars in our walk with God. The first pillar that I believe we see here, the first truth that we see, is that they had a willingness to leave all for Christ. They just had a willingness, boom, follow me, and they leave all for Christ. And what jumps out to me here in this passage is that following Christ and leaving all behind wasn't drudgery. They willingly left all for Christ. Folks, they gave up their trade. They gave up their employment. They sacrificed their belongings. And think of it from the family perspective. They left their family and their friends. Now, I do want to clarify here, when they left their families, I do not believe they were neglectful. There are some who look at this passage and say, they were neglectful to their family and their wives. You know, they left their responsibilities. But I believe what we see in this passage is that they sacrificed greatly. And yes, there was a sacrifice for even their wives. Would you agree with that? That they left and they followed Christ. Not that they neglected their family. I believe that their families were cared for in a great way. But there was great sacrifice for the wives and for their children. And yes, they sacrificed all to follow Christ. But it wasn't drudgery to follow the Messiah. They left all for Christ. Peter says to Jesus in Matthew 19, he says, "Lord, we have forsaken all." So they willingly did this. And Peter even confesses to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, we have left all." They weren't holding on to certain things and trying to follow Christ at the same time. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 10, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Folks, these disciples loved Jesus and they willingly left all. Look at verse 20. Notice their willingness to leave. We see that they straightway left. You see that? Look at verse 22. How did they leave? They immediately left. Folks, there was a cost to following Christ, but they were willing. You see that? Willing to follow Christ. And I wonder about us in 2026. Let's bring this to today's day here. The sacrifice for us really isn't that great, if you would compare it to their sacrifice. But there is a cost. Folks, some may hate you. Some may leave you. Some may say nasty things about you. But I think as a whole, folks, we live in a very easy country to follow Christ. One of the things that I have the joy and privilege of partaking in is I do a Bible study in Northern Rhode Island at a high school. And folks, I can tell you these young people understand a willingness to leave all for Christ. They are in opposition to their parents. Some of their parents are volatile to the gospel. Some of their parents are atheistic and agnostic, and they want nothing to do with the gospel. Their parents will not let them go to any kind of service, church service. They hate them bringing up the Bible. And these young people understand the cost to following Christ. And you know what? They willingly follow Christ. They're willing to leave those comforts so that they can follow Christ. And so what we see here is that the disciples had a willingness to follow Christ. Folks, I wonder if maybe the cost for some of us is to leave off some worldly influences that may hinder our walk with Christ. Maybe there are certain places that you knew when you got saved, I won't be able to go there anymore. I won't be able to do that anymore because it doesn't please my God. Folks, and you understood when you left those things, it wasn't saving you. Jesus Christ was the one who saves you, but you understood that I can't hang on to that anymore. I can't grip onto that anymore. And some would say, well, I can try to stick, you know, I can try to hang to those things. But folks, you know that there is a hindrance in your walk with God, and those things need to be let go. Folks, maybe the cost for some is your personal time. Maybe you understand that, you know, as a believer, I need to give up some of my personal time to serve Christ. I think we could all say we love our rest. We love our comfort. But sometimes our rest needs to be sacrificed so we can deliberately share the gospel with others. I believe our rest can sometimes hinder our walk with God. Maybe if you were one of those disciples, maybe you would have said, hey, yeah, I want to follow you, but Jesus, I'm so busy. It's kind of the new tagline whenever we talk to each other, right? Used to be, how are you doing? Well, I'm tired. Now it's kind of moved to, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so busy, right? Okay. How many of you said, I'm so busy this morning? You probably did, okay? I know, okay. We all do that. We're so busy. But folks, maybe we need to leave our busyness like the disciples left their livelihood so that we can follow Christ. Maybe we need to be more busy in the work of Christ. Folks, we're so busy. But I strongly believe, and I'm testifying from my own life, I think we can be so busy. We're often busy with the wrong things. We're busy with the distractions of life. I know in my own life that the news media can be a big distraction. It can just fog my mind. Social media, video games, TV watching, worldly music, YouTube viewing. Folks, even the weather. Have you been distracted and busy with the weather lately? Right? It's like I got to check it again, okay? Oh, it's going to be 2 degrees this morning, okay? 15 minutes late. Oh, it's going to be 2 degrees. Oh, we get so busy and distracted with life. Folks, I believe that we can grip onto some things so hard that we're distracted from the important work, which is Christ's work. You know, we're called to leave all for Christ, not just make time for everything else, and then if there's some time left over, then we can serve Christ. Part of a willingness to leave all for Christ is daily denying the flesh and saying no to your flesh. I believe the disciples did that. They willingly left all to follow the Lord. Luke 9:23 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Folks, the disciples had a willingness to leave all for Christ. And I wonder today in 2026, what are we gripping so closely that hinders our walk with God? Maybe you say, oh, Pastor Jake, I could never take that step of faith. I'm not willing to leave that to take this step of faith. Oh, I could never leave off this to take that step of faith. As followers of Jesus Christ, folks, we're called to leave all for Christ. Secondly, we see in this passage that they willingly not only just left all for Christ, but they willingly followed Christ. They willingly followed Christ. Look at verse 20. And they straightway left their nets. And what did they do? They followed him. Look at verse 20. And they immediately left the ship and their father. And what do? They followed him. Christ gave the command and they obeyed. It didn't make sense. Can you imagine that? You're mending your nets, doing whatever fishermen do. And then all of a sudden Jesus says, follow me. It didn't make sense. God, this doesn't make sense. But I'm going to obey. That's what they did. It included sacrifice, but they obeyed. Folks, genuine followers of Jesus Christ obey the commands of Christ. You can't say, yeah, I love God, I'm a follower of God, and be holding on to all these things from the world and not following the commands of Christ. It doesn't work that way. John 14:15 says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. You really love Jesus? You're really a follower of God? Well, then you need to keep his commandments. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. I want to show you a passage here. 1 John chapter 5. You probably know this verse off the top of your head. Verse 13. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not what? His commandments are not grievous. Folks, the word grievous has the idea of burdensome. It's not burdensome. You love God, the commands of God are not burdensome to you. They're not grievous to you to obey those commands. And so a genuine follower of Jesus Christ obeys him, and his commands are not burdensome as they follow Christ. Folks, that doesn't mean that you're sinless. As you follow God's command, you all of a sudden become sinless. It doesn't mean that. The disciples were not perfect. You're not perfect. That's why we need Jesus Christ, because we're not. We're sinful. And a genuine follower of Christ just seeks to obey him. And when you do sin, you deal with your sin problem the way that Jesus says to deal with your sin problem. You confess your sin. And you receive forgiveness and cleansing of your sin. Genuine believers obey his commands by sharing the gospel. Do you do that? Are you a gospel sharer? Do you share the gospel? Genuine believers also know how to seek to know what God says is right and what God says is wrong. Is that your heart? Oh, God, I want to know what is right here. Oh, God, I want to know what you say is wrong. God, I want to follow you. I want to know what you say. Genuine believer of Jesus Christ seeks to know God's commands, because his commands are not grievous. I love how the disciples took these steps of faith and they just followed Christ. And I wonder today, in 2026, are there steps of faith in your life that you know you need to take? Folks, I know in my heart, I know there's steps of faith that I need to take. But the disciples, Jesus said it, they obeyed. They followed him. And I wonder today, Jake, do I have that same attitude? Do I have that same heart where God is telling me, you need to do this, you need to do that? Am I willing to follow? Maybe you need to forgive someone. You know God's word says we need to forgive. You know God's word says don't be bitter. You know God's word says to be kind. Are you doing that? Maybe you need to take a step of faith and forgive that person. Maybe you'd say, that person's going to be mean. Well, take that step of faith. Obey God's word and see what God can do. Maybe you need to take a step of faith and share the gospel with a family member. Maybe you say, that family member doesn't want to hear the gospel. We just need to obey. If a genuine follower of Jesus Christ obeys. Maybe it's this guy at work, or maybe it's this girl at work who's really antagonistic to the gospel. Maybe you just need to step out in faith and share the gospel because Jesus said. Maybe you need to seek some counsel about a longstanding sin problem. You say, Pastor Jake, I can never do that. I can never step out in faith and, go to another brother or sister in Christ and really seek some help. I can never do that. Okay? Well, maybe you need to take that step of faith. Maybe you've been so proud and you need to reach out to other believers for help. That's a step of faith. And God blesses those who take those steps of faith. I wonder, have the commandments of God become grievous to you? And are you resisting a command of God? 1 John 5:3 says his commandments are not burdensome. They're not grievous. And maybe you'd say, well, Pastor Jake, some of God's commands have become grievous to me. Why are some of God's commands so burdensome to me? Can I illustrate? I want to illustrate this, why we can be so burdened about God's commands at times. When I was building houses, I would sometimes come home and I would sit down at the dinner table, and we tried to have family time at the dinner table. And so a lot of conversation comes to the dinner table, and a lot of memories, some bad, some good, at the dinner table. But when I was working carpentry, I would come home and I would share, hey, I'm working on this house, and it's kind of exciting to work on because it's really elaborate. We had to frame this kitchen again, and this is the 12th time we've had to frame the kitchen. Okay, they're really picky, but they're really elaborate, and it's fun to work in. It's a beautiful kitchen. Wait till you see this refrigerator. It goes from the floor. It's this ornate walnut. It goes to the ceiling, and two huge doors, almost like you could walk in. And I'm describing this to them, and the kitchen. It's just a bank of windows that they look out over the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. You could see the end of Long Island, and you know, they're watching and saying, that's so cool. You wouldn't believe the floor. It was all this reclaimed wood and this molding going up the stairs. It's just really, really cool. And oftentimes they would say, you know what, we haven't been to the job site in a while. I think maybe we should come by and see the job site, okay? And I'm like, yeah, that'd be great, okay? And so Lauren would say, you know, why don't we come tomorrow? And I say, okay, Lauren, you come tomorrow. And as Lauren leaves the home to come to the job site, she would text me, say, I'm on my way. And I would text her and say, listen, better not park next to my truck, okay? Stay on the road. She doesn't understand, you know, where we park. It's like a mud bath. You know, any of you have been on a job site, you understand. You don't need four-wheel drive for the snow. You need it for the mud season. And so Lauren will come and she'll park out by the road. And right in the beginning when I would meet them, I'd walk out there to meet them. Because they've never been at the job site. They don't know the job site. Oh, they hear how I've been describing it, but they don't know the ins and the outs of the job site, right? Okay. So I walk up to meet them. I'm excited to reintroduce them to the guys I work with and to show them the job. And right from the get-go, I say, you got to just stay close to me. Okay. You got to stay close to me. Stay on the path. There's a particular path that you have to stay on. Don't go this way, okay? Stay on the path because there's a big hole over here for the big in-ground pool, okay? The septic over here, you know. And just stay on the path. And as we go inside, don't grab any of those wires that those electricians are notorious, you know, for leaving out. And, you know, we know which ones they are, okay? Don't grab those. And let's go this way, and you just wait here at this door, and I'm going to go around, I'm going to unlock the door. And you know what, as we get up onto the second or third floor, I don't want you getting too close to the edge because the handrails aren't on yet, okay? I don't want you to do that. And if you come out here on this deck, you can see way up there, we're putting on the cedar shingle roof, and you'll see that's where I'm working, but I'm sorry you can't go up there because it's dangerous. Okay. Now, the whole time I've been giving, don't do this, do this, stay here, you know, stay close, instructions, right? Or we could say commands. Never once did Lauren or the kids come to me and say, you know what, Jake, you're being kind of bossy, you know. Why can't I jump in this, you know, 12-foot hole here where the pool is going to be? No, that's ridiculous. Why can't you get to go up there on top of the roof? Why can't I? Okay. Why can't I grab those bare wires? You know? Why can't I? And you know what? I want to get to the edge of the deck, and I want to get a better view. Okay? Do you think she ever said that? No. What do you think if she said this? Why can't we just do what we want? Right? If you really loved us, you'd let us touch those wires. If you really loved us, Jake, you'd let us, you know, come on, Ben, go to the top of the, you know, cedar shingle roof. You know, it's ridiculous. You're being bossy. These commands are such a burden to us. Doesn't that not make sense? It just doesn't make sense, right? Lauren would never say that. Okay, maybe you would. You'd come to the job saying, like, stop being so bossy. But those instructions would only feel grievous if she didn't trust me. See where I'm going? But when you're with the person who loves you, those words don't feel like control. They feel like care. Oh, Jake cares about me. He doesn't want me to fall in the hole. He doesn't want me to get fried. You know, he doesn't want me to break a leg. He doesn't want me to get hurt. It's because the one who loves you is looking out for your best. And when you believe that person's looking out for your best, it's not grievesome. And so what John means when he writes, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and his commandments aren't grievous, it's the fact that you know that God loves you. And his commands are not grievous to you. They're not burdensome to you because you know God loves me. And so I'm going to obey this because he loves me. Folks, the problem is we don't know God's love. We have a view of God's love from our own point of view. And it's so shallow. And we say, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I think I know myself better than God knows me. And so we don't know the love of God. And so therefore, his commands that he give us become grievous. Folks, following Christ is about gritting our teeth. I'll do it. And then being forced into obedience. It's about walking with somebody who loves you. He loves you and he cares for you. The problem is that we often don't know Christ in a close, loving, intimate way because we're so distracted by so many other things. Those things I listed before, news, social media, weather, you know, work. There's so many things that we're distracted by. And his commands become grievous because we don't know him like we can know him. Folks, and if we really truly believe that he's for us, then we would obey him. Oh, okay, this is what God says. This is best for me. And so I'm going to do it because it's for my best and it's for his glory. Folks, you understand that God is for you. Jesus loves you. He wants what's best for you. And if you think you know better than him, you're not going to trust him. You're not going to walk with him. But when you get to know the love of God, his commandments are no longer grievous to you. He loves me. He loves you. He's for you. He's on your side if you're a believer. And he wants you to walk with him. And so the commands he gives us isn't just to make you miserable. His commands are for your good and for his glory. And folks, I think if you're a believer, you would testify the best part of your life is following Jesus. And when it becomes burdensome, it's not because he's being a burden. I'm not being a burden to my family when I say, don't jump off the edge of this third, floor deck. I'm for him. Folks, that's how Jesus is for you. He's for us. He loves us. We need to just submit to what he tells us because he knows best. Can I encourage you with something here? When his commands become grievous to you, the solution isn't to power through because you're a weak and faithless Christian. That's not the solution. The solution, the answer is found in just quietly, humbly getting to know your God again. That's the solution. You'd say, some would say, well, you just need to be a strong Christian. Folks, I don't see anywhere in Scripture where we are to be strong. Our God is strong, and we need to come to him and seek strength. What we need to do if his commands are burdensome is not to just power through because we're weak. The reality is we're weak and we're broken. And what we need to do is just quietly and humbly bow before our God and get to know your loving God in a greater way. And we do that through prayer. We do that through His Word. We do that in communion with His Spirit. And so the answer is found getting to know Him. And when you get to know Him in a greater way, you're going to want to follow Him. You see the difference? It's a big difference of just, I'm going to power through. I'm going to be really strong. I need to, you know, do this more. We get so distracted by do. And we need to come to Him and say, God, your commands have become burdensome. Not because of what you have done, it's because I just don't know you like I should. And I want to get to know you again. And I want to spend time with you. Folks, that's how you can have victory in that area. His commandments are not burdensome. The disciples willingly left all and they followed Christ. It wasn't a drudgery. They knew the one that loved them. And so they chose to leave all. They chose to follow Christ. And finally, we see that they had a willingness to pursue the mission of Christ. Folks, a genuine follower of Jesus Christ will leave all, will follow Jesus, but then will pursue the mission of Christ. Look at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 4. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will do what? I'm going to make you fishers of men. You have a whole new mission. Okay? Your mission now is no longer just fishing for fish. You're going out and you're going to point people to Christ. You're going to win souls for Christ. You're going to share the gospel so that those who are lost can be saved. And folks, we know the same mission is given to us today through the Great Commission and through the Great Command, where Jesus says in Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples. Go and teach the gospel and go and teach them the things that I have taught you. Folks, the mission of Jesus Christ is disciple making and pointing people to Himself. That's what He desires for us to do. Prayerfully interacting with the lost and sharing with them the hope of Jesus Christ. Folks, do you know that the mission of a believer is not to save people? Because you can't save people. The mission of the believer is to go and share the gospel with them. You can't save them. And if you go with that attitude, I can't save you. I told two people that this week. I said, if I could beat you over the head and make you get saved, I would. But it doesn't work that way. Okay? You have to make the choice with God's empowerment to receive Christ as your Savior. And so our mission needs to be His mission. And He told the disciples, here's your new mission. You're no longer fishing for fish. You're fishers of men. And folks, that same mission is passed on to us, where we need to prayerfully interact with the lost. There's this belief, oh, you know, I'm a believer, I can't talk to lost people. That is against Scripture. Okay? We need to be separate. We don't need to act like them. But we need to interact with the lost and share with them the hope of Jesus Christ. Folks, you know that the mission of Christ is not just simply talking about Christ. It's funny when I say I'm a believer of Jesus Christ, or people find out I'm a pastor because they see my email address or something. They start saying things, God bless, and stuff like that. Folks, you know that simply talking about God is not the mission for a believer. Not just simply learning about Christ. Folks, I'm so burdened about this. There's a lot of learning going on about Christ, but not mission-oriented for Christ. You don't see in the Great Commission where Christ says, hey, you know what, I want you to go and get a degree and then present the gospel. That's faulty. That's not biblical. Okay, I'm not against getting a degree. I think there's time and place for that. But there is this mentality, well, I can't do anything for Christ until I get a Bible degree. Okay? And you don't see that in the Great Commission. Folks, we need to be mission-oriented. We need to be on mission. We need to pursue Christ's mission Okay? And if that includes getting a degree, great. But along the way, we should be presenting the gospel and interacting with the lost as we go. We need to be on mission for our Savior. Do you know that the pursuit of Christ's mission is not simply coming to church? Right? You don't see in the Great Commission, go and sit in a church service. Right? Folks, you know that's true. And yet most of the times when we have evangelistic encounters with people, what do? Invite them to church. Right? You're unsaved. Why don't you come to church? Folks, you know that's not what the church is for. Jesus doesn't say, invite people to church so that they can get saved. Jesus says, go and make disciples. They need to know the gospel. They need to get saved. And then you invite them to church. Do you understand? I'm not saying that if you're an unbeliever that you shouldn't be here. Okay, we're thrilled that you're here. But I'm trying to get us as believers on mission, pursuing the mission of Christ, which is going out and pursuing the lost for Christ. So this idea of go ye therefore and sit in a church service is not Bible. See what I'm saying? The other thing that is not the mission of Christ, and I want to be careful in how I say this because there needs to be some clarity. And if this becomes an offense to you, I don't want this to be an offense. But you'll see as I seek to clarify it, what I'm talking about and what I believe Jesus is talking about here. The mission of Christ is not simply planning events for the church. The mission of Christ is not just hosting events for the church. You see what I'm saying? Jesus tells the disciples, go and make more disciples. Go and interact with the lost. Share with them the gospel so that they can be saved. So we can't think that we're on mission, that we're fulfilling the mission of Christ just because we're part of the social committee or we're part of an event that the church has planned. Folks, events don't save people. You see what I'm saying? We can have Vacation Bible School, and that's great, but the event itself does not save people. Do you see what I'm saying? The gospel has to be presented by you at that event. Okay? Now, and you say, well, don't the pastors, always try to give an evangelistic message? Yes, we always will. Okay? But that's us. What about you? What are you doing at the events? Well, I planned and I ordered the material and I invited people to that event. Folks, the event in and of itself does not save people. It's your interaction with them and your deliberate influencing them with the gospel, which can lead them to Christ. That's the mission. And so when unsaved people come to those events, what are you doing to interact with them? Do you see what I'm saying? Just because we have a teen challenge or the teen battle doesn't mean that we're on mission for Christ. You see what I'm saying? So when we have events, the goal is for you to individually go around and talk to people about Jesus Christ and get to know them and interact with them and build a relationship with them and seek to do a Bible study with them and open the Word of God so that they can know the truth that can set them free. But unsaved people can come to even a service like this and never hear the gospel from you because you thought the event fulfilled what the mission of Christ is. Folks, do you see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be offensive, but it's truth. Okay? It's that one-on-one interaction with the lost that is the mission of Christ. I think it's interesting when you look at Jesus' ministry, and you could do this. How many of you use like ChatGPT or something like that? Okay, you can do this, a couple of you. Okay, we're friends. You can do this. You can look up the ministry of Jesus and compare the times he taught to large crowds versus those one-on-one encounters with people. And you know what you find? The ink on the page of your Bible, it's 70 to 80% were those one-on-one interactions with people. And it's the large crowd teachings that only make up about 20 to 30% of his ministry. Isn't that interesting? And yet, in our minds, and I'm not saying it's your mind, okay, some of our minds, it was, we got to invite people to these events. But folks, it's that one-on-one interaction that we need to have with the lost that is important. Would it be great if at Cornerstone, that 70 to 80% of the gospel presentation came from direct individual encounters with the lost instead of just saying, why don't you come to church? Folks, I believe we'd have a great awakening if we had 70 to 80% of our congregation individually sharing the gospel, deliberately sharing the gospel with those around them versus just inviting them to come over to church. Folks, Jesus came to save individuals, and you see over and over, he cares about that one. He cares about that one lost soul, and he's willing to seek and to save the lost. And so each person must personally receive the gospel. It's not something we do corporately. Okay? We as America cannot be saved. Do you see what I'm saying? We have to individually be saved. You have to accept the truth of Jesus Christ yourself. And so the mission of Jesus is that we go out and teach the lost the gospel. And we're just responsible to sow those seeds of the gospel. And the understanding is something that God gives to people. But we're responsible. Our mission, Christ's mission, is to share the gospel with the lost. And so in 2026, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, are you pursuing his mission of making more disciples of Jesus Christ? Are you on mission with that? Is that your goal? Or are you just simply content to talk about Christ or invite people to church? And I'm not saying that those things are bad, but if that is our only mission, then we've missed the point. Jesus says in John 4:35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The harvest fields are ready for harvest. Matthew 9:37-38 says, Jesus says, the harvest truly is plenteous. Folks, do you believe that? I think we would all say, yes, I believe the harvest is plenteous. But the question is, if the harvest is so plenteous, why aren't we seeing that? Right? You come to New England, it's like, is the field dead up here? Some people have said that, you know, God's written off New England. I don't believe that. The harvest truly is plenteous. You believe that? So why aren't we seeing people saved? Because we're not on his mission. We're not pursuing his mission. The laborers are few. There's few laborers. There's laborers. But statistically speaking, most of us aren't on the mission of Christ's mission. We're busy doing other things. So Jesus says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Folks, the need is great. I think we could rattle off statistics. There's a great need in this area. And the mission of Jesus Christ is great. But where are the laborers? Folks, I believe that the laborers are often not willing to go. I think there's some of you who they listen to a message like this and like, yeah, I'm on mission for Christ. You know, I texted John 3:16 on my Facebook post and, you know, I'm doing really good. Okay? You know, and we think we're on mission because of that. Folks, I also think that the laborers are busy doing other things. We're busy loving the world. We're busy serving our own lusts. We're busy in academics. Oh, I've got to learn more. You know, I've got to get another degree so therefore God can use me. Folks, that's such a lie of the devil. What are you doing today for Jesus Christ?
How are you serving Him today? I believe also a lot of us are busy just arguing about opinions. We're getting lost in all these issues. And we're not on mission for Jesus Christ. We're not on mission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe many are busy criticizing and complaining about the work of other believers. Well, did you see what that church did? You know, they had a, you know, they had an Easter bunny in their, you know, their front foyer. And folks, we laugh at that, but it's true. And we're arguing, criticizing other believers. You know, they're the ones who are going out sharing the gospel. They're the ones who are, you know, we look at them and say, I can't be a part of them. But what are we doing? It's time to get our eyes off of them and get our eyes here and say, Lord, what am I doing for Christ? Am I busy in your work or am I just busy? Okay, am I on mission for Christ? Am I pursuing the mission of Christ? Maybe some of the laborers in Christ's body are just busy planning and hosting events. Folks, I think we can get so busy in the events that we don't have time to invest in long-term disciple making. You mean God would want me to like do a Bible study once a week with somebody? Like, I don't have the time for that. Folks, we get so busy in things that, you know, don't necessarily matter that we leave off that mission of Christ. The mission of Christ needs to be our mission. And what we see in our passage in Matthew 4 is that Peter, Andrew, James, and John willingly pursued that mission of Christ. They left all. They followed. And they pursued that mission. Christ's mission became their mission. And folks, really, Christ's mission needs to be our mission. Whether you're at work, whether you're in your neighborhood, whether you go to the store, whether you interact, however way you interact with the lost, that needs to be our mission. So it's no longer the mission of, oh, I'm just going to go to Home Depot. It's, Lord, who do you want me to meet at Home Depot? Lord, who do you want me to interact with at work today that needs to hear the gospel? Who maybe in the parking lot is broken down and I could meet with and help them get their car going and maybe stir up a gospel conversation? Folks, that's the mission of Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? It's far beyond just, you know, going through the mundane aspects of life. We're called to be fishers of men. We're called to go and make disciples. So Christ's mission needs to be our mission. Folks, as we wrap this up, I really don't know how Christ or how God has challenged you today. But can I urge you just to listen to how God is speaking to you? If God has pinpointed something in your heart, can I just encourage you to listen to what He's talking to you about? And maybe there are some steps of faith that you need to take. I would encourage you just to do that. You say, that would be really scary. I may have to leave some things and I might have to follow Him a little differently. And I may have to maybe get on mission with the mission of Christ. Folks, maybe it's time for us to take that step of faith. And I would encourage you as we close to say, Lord, I want to do that. I want to be like these disciples. I want to leave that behind. I want to follow you. And I don't want to just follow you. I want to align with your mission of life. Maybe you're unsaved. Maybe you're one of those who you got invited to church and you're unsaved and you're going, I don't know, this stuff makes sense. Can I just encourage you? Your first step is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Okay? So your first step of faith is accepting or receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you would say, I just can't do that. I don't have the faith to do that. Folks, if you're unsaved, can I just encourage you to bow before God and say, God, I don't have the faith. Would you give me the faith? And God will do that. And as you look into His Word and you come to know Jesus Christ, you're going to say, that's the best first step I ever made. And I don't understand it right now, but I'm just so thankful that that's that first step. And so if you're unsaved, that would be your first step. And if you would like to know more, certainly there are those around you who love you, and we love you, and we'd love to share the gospel with you. But let's bring it back to the believer. Believer, have you left all for Jesus Christ? Or are you still gripping onto those things? You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen somebody like they're slipping on ice and they're gripping to all these things to try to find security? Sometimes we do that in our Christian walk, and we grip onto things, and we think that letting those go for God is going to be a really dangerous, precarious place. But what we find when we do that, it's actually a more stable place to be. And so maybe there's some things in your life where you've been gripping on to some things really tightly, and they've been hindering your walk with God. Can I just encourage you to surrender that to God, and so that you can not have that hindered fellowship? Are you following Christ? Have His burdens become griefsome to you? Maybe you say, yeah, there's that, that was that thing I know God really spoke to me about, and you know, that's become kind of burdensome, and I want to get to know God more. Can I encourage you to just commit that to God today and say, God, Your commands have been grievous, and I want to get to know You. I want to learn to love You and learn how to love You in a greater way. Maybe you've been pursuing your own missions and you haven't been on Christ's mission. Can I encourage you to get that right? And believer, this message isn't about doing more. This whole message about the disciples and, you know, leaving off and following Christ and being on mission for Christ isn't about you doing more. It's not about you powering through and being a better Christian. It's really about getting to know your God in a more intimate way and simply knowing Him, following Him, and pursuing His mission. That's what it's about. Just knowing Him in a greater, more intimate way. And so we all have steps. Folks, there's steps I have to take. I'm not preaching because I've arrived, okay, at all. We all need to take steps of faith in our walk with Christ.